is the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. Oh yeah. Welcome all you hive scummers who think they can rise to the top of the spire.
Welcome to the seventh episode of the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Roy.
And I'm Richard.
And we welcome you and thank you for listening once again. Today's schedule will have us rambling on about the latest core rulebook and everything that we like and dislike about that. And also what we learned about from our latest campaign, what we do different, good ups and downs, goods and bads. So as usual, we'll get started on what we've been doing lately.
Yeah.
I don't have much to say, so you can take up all the spotlight, Richard.
And this time, since last time we recorded, just been doing mainly commission paints. So painted some fire prisms, wave serpents, about to work on some more vehicles, some elder vehicles, and just a smattering of little odd bits for the Orlok player and his Iron Warriors. So
we've also finished the campaign, so you played, yeah. You played at least one more game since the last time we talked.
Yeah. Well, yesterday we played.
But for the campaign you played, we had that last battle. I don't remember what we did.
It was a three-way match. 2v1.
Yes, 2v1. Yeah. Trying to escape the hive.
Yeah, trying to escape the hive. And my waddlers, my iron squat boys, were able to make it off the board.
Yeah.
Actually, everybody was able to make it off.
Well, all the gangs did, but like y'all won.
Sure, yeah.
Because half your gang made it across.
Yes, yeah. So, but you got your guys off.
I got
Nick and I got both of ours.
I got four models off, yeah.
Yeah, I just barely got four models off.
Yeah.
So, if you had seriously injured one more of them, they would have been bad news bears.
I think my hand flamers what just took the rest of them out.
Yeah,
and that one, my leader was like,
your leader was pretty ferocious. So what if she looked at, they were dying.
No, because I was in hand to hand with that one person, like almost in hand to hand for like three freaking turns. Remember you stopped me?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Anyways, so campaign ended. We played a game yesterday to
familiarize ourselves with the Ash Waste.
Yeah.
Rules,
because we have yet to play any Ash Waste game. So yesterday was the first one.
I played one with Nick, and it was haphazard, I would say.
Oh, that was the first one for me.
Okay. Yeah, this was my second, so it's not. Yeah, that was a bit frustrating. Playing Cawdor, brought a wolf quad. Kind of did nothing, really.
Yeah, it didn't do anything. It annoyed me.
I tried to ram your Ridge Runner, which did nothing. And then I had a hand flamer, a blunderbuss that shot into it that got the Ridge Runner and my quad. And, of course, it did nothing to Roy's Ridge Runner.
Nor the
guy that riding on, yeah, on top of it. Yeah, the guy
champion on top of it.
So it just ended up catching my wolf quad on fire. I was like, okay, yeah, this is fun. Everything is fine.
Your Ridge Walkers didn't do anything either, except for die.
No, yeah, the Chicken Walkers just toppled over. Like, what was the Goliath's vehicle?
The Mauler.
The Mauler, yeah.
Twin-linked heavy bolt. With a twin-linked bolter, just
annihilated the first guy.
Yeah.
So there was no chance. And it's just, I don't know what I'm doing with them. Granted, it was my first game with them, so.
It has one wound.
Yes,
it has one wound, and I mean a bolter. Yeah. Like a bolter kills everything except for a Goliath. I mean, except for a Orlok leader,
because it's three wounds. Yeah.
So I mean, a bolter. That's what my Death Maiden dies from all the time, is a bolter.
Yeah, so, but like even my second one coming around, it's like I'm not really sure where to go, what to do with them.
Yeah, properly utilize it.
Yeah. So it was a. Oh, that was a interesting experience.
Okay. But. Yeah. We may play Saturday or Sunday, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get some more reps in and.
Yeah, just throw some vehicles down. Just go through all the actions of the vehicles.
What we should probably do, like you were saying yesterday, as far as just doing like just vehicles. We know how gangs fight, and Ashways kind of adjust them depending, but for our Ash Waste to get ready for it, I would say let's do like just the derby.
Well, maybe not that we could just bring vehicles or walkers, vehicles and walkers, whatever.
Yeah,
more but points for us, just bring them and So yesterday we went through his, did you ram me or you shot me?
I shot you.
And it didn't do anything, but we acted like it did.
Yes.
And we just went through the whole motions. Okay, what if it did this? Okay, and then we'll
how would that. It play out?
And then, okay, if I would have failed that handling check, what would it have done? And we just kept on going, we should do that.
Like, more,
go through
all the steps and...
Yeah, all the steps, all the actions a vehicle could take.
Yeah.
That was... Because once you...
Get more familiar with the dice, reading the dice.
Yeah.
Because that was something we were having to look at the book at.
Yeah. Because that... Like the body...
The body for the where it hits.
Yeah, that does not look like a truck. I mean, I can see it now, but just looking at it, like, that's some weird rectangles with
circles.
Yeah, they're not even rectangles.
They're
I don't even know what those are. It's a mob block shaped, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. What have I been up to besides that?
I made a
cherub servitor for the Chaos Cador Corvus Cabal.
Yeah.
Which took the... I think that cherub is from a fantasy empire.
Oh, that's where you got it from.
Yeah, because okay. I think the thing looks stupid.
Yeah.
I've never liked that model.
Okay.
Because it has its chest is cut open. There's a rectangle. You see gears turning in it.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. I'm like, I got bird people.
Yeah.
I need a bird. I just cut off its head and put a bird head on there. And
there you go.
Bird skull. There you go. It looks way better in my opinion now. So now I need to find a bird, a good sized bird model, cut its head off and put a skull on there. A regular skull.
Yeah.
You know, to even it out.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't think I've done much more than that because I did do some more painting on my Eschers because I was head of security for a local con.
Mm-hmm.
And I had super bad lighting because I was the only one in charge out of all the management there at night.
Oh, okay.
It was a Saturday, Sunday con. And Saturday night, they had a little party. Mm-hmm. And all the people that worked wanted to go do it. So I was just sitting there in the lobby area. And I had my models out. I think I convinced like three people to start playing
Necromunda
in a different town. Yeah, I met some cool people over there. I met two guys that design their own games and publish their own games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember their names. I don't have the card on me because I didn't think about bringing them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give them a shout out later in the show notes. Learned some stuff from one of the guys. He has a master's degree in art education.
Mm.
And he was, super
knowledgeable.
Yeah. I was asking about color theory and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other guy, he's a huge orc player. And I was looking at some of the stuff. He did the orc Star Wars thing. So he's X-Wing. He has an orc wing.
Sure.
And it all looks really good. So he was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I've done anything else.
Okay.
I've brainstormed about future campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. I drive for work.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to the Eye of Horus Gangbang and the Eye of Horus Necromunda Fast Shots.
Oh, okay.
So the gangbang is like 2 or 3 hours, and the fast shot's supposed to be like an hour.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So I've been listening to those. So if you have not heard of them and you've looked them up on Apple or Spotify, you're not going to find those episodes on Apple or Spotify because they only have like 6 or 7 of their regular Eye of Horus. It's all under the Eye of Horus podcast.
Oh, it's a subcategory within it, more or less.
So you got to go to SoundCloud, which I do not like SoundCloud.
Oh, it's on SoundCloud.
It's on SoundCloud. Okay. You got to go to SoundCloud and you got to go through and search and find them.
Mm.
But Tim, the main host of all of the Eye of Horus, he's always spitting out ideas just like, hey, man, we can do this or we can do that. You know, this would be cool. This would be cool. And so he inspired me to eventually do a chaos campaign. So on a chaos world, the Eye of Terror or wherever,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's a chaos gang, and have the mutations go crazy, have maybe chaos artifacts we're fighting over.
Okay.
I may make a supplement out of this. I don't know how much work I want to put into it, but eventually I want to do that because you can go convert to your heart's content.
Especially with chaos.
Yeah, make them all crazy. Speaking of other podcasts, a new one has came out. I don't know if people have heard about this, the Lore Keepers of the Underhive.
Mm-hmm. What Roy meant to say was the name of the show is called Underhive Lore Keepers. Back to the show.
Their main host, Spamuel, he actually gave us a review on Spotify,
mm-hmm.
which thank you for that, Spamuel. And Nurgle, let's see. And then on Apple, Nurgleth13 gave us a review, and we do appreciate that as well.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So I'll put the links to the both those podcasts in the show notes, so everybody can go listen to them. You know, good stuff. If you have some time to kill, you, the iForce has a good backlog of episodes. Mm-hmm. I think I'm on episode 17 of the Fast Shots, and I don't even know where I'm at, the gangbang. I'm just going in order.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
he posted them. Yeah. Yeah. So that's about it for me. And now a break for a Necromacho ad, and then we'll come back to our first topic of the day, which is the new core rulebook.
Break into a skinny stick. Your source for dried underhive protein substitute. Yep. Use coupon code CAGEMATCH to get an extra 10% off at checkout.
So, the new core rulebook that not that many people have.
Yeah.
So, there are two game stores in our town.
Yep.
They each got one book.
Uno. Yeah.
So that means Richard and I both have one book. We're the only people in this town to have this book. Maybe the same in your town, too.
So how many cards did they get? Because our normal store only had one pack of cards.
One pack.
One. Okay, so it was a one-on-one.
Yeah, one pack of the Tactus cards, not the Open High War.
Yeah, the Open High War. Or the new cards that they were trying to...
No, the Open High War, that's a reprint.
Are they a reprint?
They are a reprint.
Oh, okay. I thought they were a brand new thing.
Nope, they're a reprint. Okay. Yeah, because... We got like, I think there was like nine of us that pre-ordered it.
Yes.
And
we got one.
Yeah. Will said is whichever one of us come and get it first. And you went up there first. I was like, okay, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I called the other store and I'm like, hey, y'all got your order yet? I got your order yet? And like, oh yeah, we just got it. Hey, can you hold that book for me? Yeah, sure. No problem. I'm like, nobody ordered it. Okay.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So we can talk about the lack of books towards the end of this topic.
Yeah. Yeah. The print supply that they had.
So. I'm sure everybody's listened to this, has heard other podcasts, other YouTube channels, other blogs, read other blogs about this thing. Mm-hmm. We're not going to sugarcoat things like some other people do.
Yeah. There are definite flaws within this book.
Yeah.
My main complaint is, granted, it was definitely like influencers and people within the Necromunda scene that were hyping this up, amping it up prior to release. And what I felt like we got was a step in the right direction. But I wasn't looking for like Necromunda 2.0, like not by any stretch. But gather all the books, consolidate it, collate everything. And that's not what we got.
So I think that is on us.
Sure.
Because GW said they're going to consolidate. Mm-hmm. In our minds, in my mind at least, like, oh, they're going to add, if not most everything, but a whole lot of...
A good number of things.
Number of things into this book. GW said they're just going to consolidate. They didn't say how much. So they left it out there in the open just so you could interpret that how you will. And we interpret it how we wanted to interpret it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that, oh, you're going to have Ashways rules in here. You're going to have stuff for all that. And it's like, okay, great. So my mind jumped to, well, your Ashways rulebook is locked behind the starter box.
Yeah.
Ashways box. And for this, you're getting just rolling up a scenario as far as the weather. You're not getting the campaign. So if you want the campaign, you got to go and either buy it on eBay where somebody's cut it out and is piecemealing it. Or go buy the starter set.
Yeah.
Just for the campaign.
So you get the book. You get the vehicle rules. The base rules for vehicles.
Base rules.
You don't get any vehicle actual rules. Like there's no wolf quads or that in there.
Yeah.
There's no vehicle war gear in this. You got to go to the book of the Outlands.
Yeah.
For that. So that's...
It's an inconvenience. I mean, it's just... The thing that really bothers me with this is like... There was a huge complaint from 40K crowds of... We don't want all these books. We want just slim it down. And you would think they would try and take that and apply it to their other games. Whereas for Necromunda, you're not getting that. And there's things that I didn't expect for it to be in there, like the chicken walkers for the Cawdor, or the Goliath's, what is that thing called again?
The Mauler.
The Mauler, yeah. Like, I expected that stuff not to be in this. That makes sense. I get that. But just generic vehicle rules, even the upgrades to them would have been nice to have. So you're not having to lug all these different books around with you.
Yeah.
So, because I worked it out earlier. If I'm playing Kaldor in Ashways campaign, I need the core rulebook, the Ashways rulebook, if for whatever
extra vehicle,
road sections and settlements I own, the Aranthian succession, whatever book that one is. So rulebook, Ashways rulebook, my House Elf book, my Aranthian succession, and the Book of the Outlands, if I do any like custom vehicles or anything.
Yeah.
And that's five books. I don't need Book of the Outlands. I don't need the Ashways book. So you could have easily cut me down to just 3 books. I wouldn't say a hard ask, but I don't know. With this book, it's not the end all be all that people are making it out to be. And I wish people would be more honest and more blunt,
yeah,
with their
assessment of it.
Assessments and yeah, commentary on it.
Yeah.
So
like the book is great as the lore and some extra lore.
Sure.
Than the other ones. Has some great artwork. I appreciate all the nice spreads they did, especially with the Out of the Hive.
Oh yeah.
That's
yeah,
great.
The art is fantastic.
Yeah, art's great.
Even the graphic design, much more legible to read than the Ashways rule book. Because it's you don't have that dark background.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I would say it's a step in the right direction. Just needs to be pushed further.
Yeah. Like the index.
Oh boy.
So they have an index. Everybody's hyped. They have an index. Yes, they have an index.
It's poor.
Yeah. They could have done more with the index. So while we were playing yesterday, we're trying to look in this book, like, where's this rule at? Let me look in the index.
Yeah.
It's not in there.
There's no index reference for like hull down and for when you're fighting with vehicles. And it's like this short little blurb that you have to find. And it's just,
so we're going to start making, when we play this weekend, we started doing it yesterday. Take it like, okay.
Questions that we have.
Is that in the index? If it is not, we're going to write it down. We're going to look it up. We're going to make our own index. And once we get,
and publish it.
Yeah, publish it once we get done with it.
Yeah.
Because
it's a free PDF for anybody that wants it.
Yeah, because it was super annoying not being able to find. Like, it's so on his desk right here, he has the 8th edition fantasy rulebook. Okay, now the hardback, big one, and then they released a pocket size one as well. They both have an index in them.
Yep.
And the index breaks things down. Like, if you want a movement for characters, movement for, was it charging?
Yeah, like any type of movement, like fleeing from a battle, like there's that subsection in there.
Yeah.
So you have like 8 different points of reference for movement, whereas, okay, in this index, it's like movement, this block of pages, 107 to 109 or something like that. Yeah. So it's just put the same care into the index, because like, especially, like, I would say we're both fairly seasoned with Necromunda.
Yeah.
But we're trying to play this right in case anything's changed, because we're not 100% sure. And also with Ashways, we played a handful of games, his first game. So there's a lot of things that we don't know that we're trying to reference, and we just can't find it.
Yeah.
And it's not anything that's like super nitty-gritty in the details or anything.
Yeah. So we're not trying to bash saying this book's a piece of crap. We just thought more could have been done with what they have.
Yeah.
You know, the updates they did, you know, for the stuff for the bronze skill, that's very thematic.
Oh, yes.
I don't think I'll take a bronze skill like on my Goliath. I won't take one of those until it's like my second, maybe third choice. I'm not going to take one of those first.
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing something very cinematic, you know, like, hey, we're going to do this thing.
We're going to do a cage match.
Doing a cage match, you know. Okay, yeah. Well, then, yeah, I'll take that because that's what it looks like it's for.
Yeah, totally.
The new moon chart.
I'm really happy with that, actually. Like, there's a lot more of a something happens to your guy, like the impressive scars or whatever it was, where it makes your guy like more terrifying or gives him the fearsome skill or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's just okay. I like this.
More flavor is always good.
Yeah,
and then of course they changed how the seriously injured works, because like that came up yesterday. Is like,
you rolled 6 attacks and 1 skull and 5 seriously injured.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it was kind of ridiculous. Like, okay, but now that I know they've been dead.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If they're under the new stuff, and then the new, we weren't keeping track of experience, but we're looking at it like guys are racking up experience pretty easy.
Yeah.
Seriously injuring a guy. So all that's great. I haven't read the thing cover to cover. I have not done that. That's not going to happen anytime soon. I don't have time for that.
Same. I mean, for me, I use it as a rule book. I'm not really sitting here reading the lore for it.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. I mean, reading all the rules to see what's changed and going through every campaign far.
Okay.
I can't put myself through that. That's a slog, because I'm like, I already know the rules, but do I know the rules? They could have changed, because you didn't say exactly what they changed. They said they changed a couple things.
Sure.
But like, there's some stuff, like I think the coup de grace has changed just a smidge. Per the rules, I think it's changed. I'm not going to say what it is because in case I'm wrong, just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But I think it's changed just a smidge. So just that, like, I need to read them all, go through cover to cover, and just sit down and read it. Like, oh, okay, that's different. That's different. Make some notes.
Yeah.
So I can't speak to all the rules. One thing they did not do as well is the scenarios. Most of the regular scenarios are not in this book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The scenario selection is very small. Mm. So you have to have all those other rule books.
Yeah. And that, for them publishing this book, that would have been so easy for them to just, hey, we grabbed everything.
Well,
even the ones that came out from community on Warhammer community, that would have been great for them to actually publish it. Here it is in print. So you don't have to go digging through your PDFs.
Okay, so now we're gonna start switching this topic. So if they would have put everything in this book is, let's see, let me open it up.
It's like 300 and
331, 32, 33.
Okay.
So 36 pages. Well, technically 37 because you got the piece of artwork. 337 pages. Mm-hmm. This is a chunky book. If they'd have put everything in here, this would have been an encyclopedia.
I'm okay with that. Because if it means I just have to bring a book, like a tome, I'm okay with that. But again, I'm coming from 8th Ed Fantasy. This chonker is 512 pages.
Yeah, you do have a point there.
So.
You do have a point. That's
And it's not.
Like, well, they have. So the scenarios, there's over 120 scenarios right now.
Oh, okay. All
so right. There's a
sure.
Okay. Ton of scenarios.
Okay.
But I'm saying they could have put the original ones for like the ones that were in the older books, the Gang War books. They could have put those in here.
Yeah.
You know,
update them for the new edition.
One thing I do not like that I've seen so far for like the Dominion campaign is they have one for Ash Waste and or the if you're inside the Hive, you got 3 missions.
Just 3?
Yeah, three of each. So depending on which one you're on.
Okay.
So if you're playing Sector Imperial, you have 3 missions you can play. You're supposed to play 3 missions over a campaign.
That's going to get pretty stale.
Yeah, that's going to get old real fast.
Yeah.
I understand, like, hey, you need to have an arbitrator, but come on.
Yeah, I mean, give them a little bit more to chew off of. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
okay, so if they put more, the book would be huge. Hey, but you're fine with that.
I'm okay with it because it's just, I would rather, because at this point, it's, I now have to bring Book of the Outlands and the Ash Waste, and when the book first came out, I calculated it would be like an additional maybe 40 pages. Not crazy, like it's not a big ask when you put in all those different components into this.
Okay, so before this book came out, we got our hands on it. One of the sections for today's podcast, I was going to do a rant about people who did not want more GW books, more Necromunda books.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really do that right now because what I was going to say is now messed up. Because before this book came out, people are like, we don't want any more Necromunda books. Well, you need more Necromunda books. That means Necromunda is being supported. And that means
to keep it going. Yeah.
To keep it going. They're, yeah. They make models. They make rules. If you buy the models and the rules and they keep on making more, that means your game's supported. You got new content. It keeps it fresh.
Yep.
Instead of keeping it stale. You know, if I had to spend $50 for a book, okay.
Yeah.
You know, this game's staying alive. They're not going to drop it.
Yeah.
But now they've come out with this core rule book that's supposed to be consolidating things. It's like, really? I mean, I can't even use that argument anymore. Okay, so they put some extra campaign stuff in there. They could have made a whole book that was just campaigns. I'd have bought that.
It was
campaigns. Yeah. They could have released the training post online, mm-hmm. like they already have.
Yeah.
And then the updated last stand injury roster
mm-hmm.
chart. Not roster, chart.
Yeah.
And have the new XP and the brawn skills. They could have released that as a FAQ.
Yeah.
And this book is not needed.
I disagree. I mean, one, you need a rule book that is accessible, unlike the Ash Waste rule book.
Oh, yeah, true. Yes.
Because that's just, it's locked behind the starter box. And it's just, we're moving away from the Dominion rule book because that was the one prior. So it's needed. It's almost like in my head, you and I were going out to eat for dinner, and I was like ready for that steak and baked potato. And then we get to the restaurant, and turns out they're only serving appetizers. And so it's just, you're not, I'm not full off of this iteration of the book. And that's what this feels like. This feels like this was not cooked in the oven long enough. That it's an iteration, it's not the final product, because it's missing so many components. And I'm wondering, is it GW is like, well, that encourages people to go and buy the starter set, Ash Waste Box, go and buy the Book of the Outlands, go and buy, well, yeah, those two books I would say are kind of what should have been added in this. People are still going to go and buy Book of the Outlands for their nomads or for their squats. Like, that's going to be a part of, that's their house of book for now.
Yeah.
So you would still have players going and getting those books. Maybe not so much on the Ash Waste book, but if you buy the starter set, you got a book to get you going. It's not the end all be all book, but hey, it gets you started with the game and gets your foot in the door.
Okay, so I'm going to revise what I said. If you have the Ash Waste rule book,
yeah,
you don't need this book.
But you do. In the sense, like, they changed how seriously injured works.
Okay.
Like, just
if one person has this book, you do not need this book.
Sure.
If you already have the Ash Waste book.
Sure.
If you're like a new guy getting into it, of course, yeah, buy this book.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if you're just a guy who likes playing, not a collector, because mm-hmm. the collector's going to buy it no matter what.
Yeah.
Just a guy who likes playing, and you already have the Ash Waste book. If you have a new box set, you want that, or you want the book, I'd get the box set of whatever you're buying.
Yeah.
Instead of
yeah.
this book.
Yeah.
Now, trying to buy the book, which you can't unless you get an EPUB right now.
Yeah.
Which is
more affordable, but
so ridiculous.
Yeah.
That you cannot buy this book right now. A store's got allocation of one.
Yeah.
I don't work for GW. I don't know their thought process, their marketing team. I don't know what
their logistics pipeline and all that.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on, but they're leaving money on the table. They sold 8 of these from one store in our town. And just take us as a sample of just 8. Well, how many cities across the US, the UK, Australia, you know, Germany, France, how many?
No, they Spain. Just left people high and dry.
Yeah, people are posting still on Instagram, like photoshopping in their hand, like, here I am with my new book. Not, I'm still waiting on this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost as elusive as the Zomertalis tiles.
Yes. Well, I can understand why the Zomertalis stuff, because they're putting everything into the Indominus.
Sure.
Yeah. It's the Indominus, right?
No.
The Leviathan.
Leviathan box, yeah.
I don't play 4K anymore. I don't care.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So they were putting all their effort in that, make sure everybody had a box set. I can understand that. But you know people are buying these tiles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
40K, Necromunda, like smattering, like just a great number of players are buying
the tiles. Each time you produce them, they sell out.
Yeah.
Make more.
Yeah.
But once again, we don't work for GW. We don't have that insight into what they're doing.
As a consumer, though, we can comment that from what I'm observing with 40K is that all the emphasis was put on 40K.
Yes.
Here you have Leviathan. They got the rule book that came in the box. They then had just the rules, which is another book. And they also had a campaign book. All within a month and a half of launch.
40K is what supports GW.
Understood. So, I mean, it's just how they decided to go about printing all of these. You're putting more emphasis on the 40Ks and to, I would say, I think at this point, a ridiculous point. Like, I mean, it's just almost absurdity.
Okay. So.
Because our store, we got, what, 70 boxes, 80 boxes?
No, more than that. He had over 100 boxes.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
100 boxes of Leviathan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
80 of them were pre-ordered.
Okay.
Like they were already sold.
Okay. So he had 20 on hand afterwards, roughly.
Yeah. I think they're all gone.
No, he still has some.
He still has some. Okay.
He has a handful.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So same topic, switching gears a little bit. So if you do want an insight to some of the GW's thought process.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? It's not the painting table.
Painting phase?
The painting phase.
Okay.
They did an interview with a former GW employee who worked for GW straight for 16 years. We worked with him over 20 years, and he was head of part of the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives you some great insight into GW's thought process.
Yeah.
We'll post that YouTube video in the description. I think it's great. We're not going to go over all that. You can watch it. It's like, it's over an hour long.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it's 2 hours, but it's over an hour long.
Yeah.
And it gives great insight. Like the GW Artificer brush.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Winsor Newton brush.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It is a Winsor Newton brush, just
relabeled. GW.
Yeah, GW.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, well, okay. I know where I can get a Winsor Newton brush for more expensive, but whatever.
Yeah.
If I didn't really need one.
Yeah.
He talks about how us, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not GW's. We're not GW's market. They're
a niche of a niche.
Yeah. They call it the trumpet, the funnel, but GW calls it the trumpet.
Oh, okay.
The people coming in, that's who they want to cater to.
Yeah.
Which are kids, preteens, trying to get that big box set, selling the paint sets.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they're catering to. That's where they make their money. We're at the other end. We're at the very, we're shooting out of the trumpet or the funnel.
Mm-hmm.
They're not worried about us. They've already made their money off of us. We buy some stuff from GW, like, okay, I got a box here. I got a book here. Okay, let's say I spent $120.
Yeah.
What does a 40K army cost nowadays? A 2000 point 40K army?
$600 to $800 maybe?
Yes. So, $600. So we're not buying armies. We're probably not even buying GW paint. We're buying some Vallejo, some we're not only just exclusively
GW.
Yeah, it's not, yeah. We're not in the thing, well, GW says it said to be painted this way, this is the way I have to paint it, I need to follow this exactly. We're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're not the ones they're catering to. They're like, basically they're being nice, like, hey, here's this product, we can make some money off of you, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be like, I'm thankful for what I get. I am thankful for what I get for Necromunda, but I'm like, please, sir, may I have another?
Yeah.
You know.
I am thankful for them consolidating some of the rules, even with like the Dominion stuff in this. Like, it's great. I'd like to see more of it. Even taking like the Warhammer community missions will be great. Bring us a campaign book but mission book or whatever you want to supplement.
A book of campaigns.
A book of campaigns, yeah. Sure.
So, yeah. I mean, that's a great thing they did. They put new types of campaigns in here, like different ways to run them. Those are great.
With the arbitrary tools and whatnot.
Well, yeah, so if you want the one where you start out at 3,000 creds,
yeah,
and you can't buy anything, you just last man standing.
Yeah, War of Attrition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's good stuff. Or you want to play Old Munda, so you have the limited training post and stuff, so yeah.
Yeah, overall, I would say it's a good iteration, not a great iteration, and it just needed more time in the oven to cook.
Yeah. So. I appreciate what Andy Hoare is doing, heading up Necromunda, you know, keeping it alive, keeping those ideas flowing.
And I wouldn't solely place it on anybody exclusively.
I'm not placing it on him. I mean, he's head of the Necromunda. He's head of, I don't know if he's head of Specialist Gamings, but he's head of Necromunda.
Yeah. I imagine, like, politically, that internally, that there's, well, my idea of, okay, put the stuff, the generic stuff for Book of the Outlands and Ashway's campaign in here. GW,
what's like
head honchos might say, ooh, we don't want that.
Yeah, like, that impacts that's the sales a little too much. Of this other book. Yeah, it's corporate.
Yeah.
I mean, they're there to make money.
Yeah.
And however corporate wants to make the money is how they're going to make the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so artists have great idea all the time. But some bigwigs like, no.
Limits them. And yeah.
I mean, so it is what it is.
That's a company. At the end of the day.
It's a company. They got to pay their shareholders.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we'll take another break and then we'll be back, of course.
Necro Macho Nachos. Come get you some. Oh, yeah.
So welcome back. Now we're going to talk about what we learned from our last campaign. So the biggest takeaway from last campaign, words are good. Our last campaign is you can't let your campaign take too long. Or else people will lose interest. I mean, GW has rules for a perpetual campaign, but those are for hardcore players.
Yeah.
Because ours went for
8 weeks.
Yeah, 8 weeks with 1 week of downtime.
Mm-hmm.
But
people checked out, I'd probably say week 5.
Yeah.
So
they just lost interest.
Yep.
You know, if they weren't doing so good, they're like, ah, screw it.
Yeah. Just get off my back. I'll just dip out. And
yeah. And so that dwindled it to, we had 4 players and then we had basically had 3 players and that was it.
Yeah.
So you got to know what your group wants. And sometimes they don't know what they want. They're like, oh yeah, we're all gung-ho about this. And then,
oh yeah. Yeah.
So like the next campaign we're going to do an Ash Waste. I'm just going to do 4 weeks. No down week. We'll have a down week. It's just, hey, here's your creds. Everybody's healed.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But just 4 weeks, a month.
Yeah.
People ought to be good with that.
Yeah.
You know? Oh,
yeah. One thing I learned in doing that campaign is for doing 3 games a week with 2 gangs while also playing other games, it's just not feasible. So I was playing 6 games of Necromunda, a smattering of like Warcry and 40K kind of sprinkled in. Oh, no, not 40K, 30K.
Yeah, some heresy.
Yeah, and it was just, it got to be too much. So 30K would take like half the day because they're bigger battles.
Yeah.
And then I might get 2 games in
with
Necromunda. So.
So all of our boards are 3x3 to expedite the games. And they were all
getting combat closer or faster.
Yeah, almost every game was Zone Mortalis. There's very few that were Sector Mortalis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you got into close combat pretty fast. You were up on each other.
Yeah.
They still took a while.
Yeah. I think mine probably averaged from like 45 minutes to an hour. Maybe an hour and 15. So I know like for us, when we play, they take longer. But I think that's just more, just we're having just more fun with it and just like not going for the optimal thing to do.
You know why our games take longer?
Mm.
Okay, so everybody, Richard is excited about some Necromunda. You know, not because, I can't tell that just because he has a podcast or because he paints all this stuff, or I'm sitting at this desk and there's Necromunda stuff all around, plus fantasy and 40K and all the jazz. But this man, when he rolls his dice, he launches a sucker. Because I have a dice tray, And it
very short dice tray.
It's a very short dice tray, but he is chucking those like he's on a roulette table, and he's trying to get to the end of the board 7 feet away. They always bounce out.
Yeah.
And I only count dice that if you're going to roll in the tray, they have to end in the tray. So if it bounces out, it doesn't count. So we're chasing dice around all the dang time.
Yeah, that's true. Sure. Yeah.
We're making you a dice tower. I'm going to make a dice tower. So you can just drop them
no,
in there.
I'm not doing that. No, I hate dice towers. I can't stand them.
Well, then you.
They're too loud. Just.
Oh, no. I was going to put some felt on it so they're not loud.
But still, it's no. I like.
Okay, well, them I'll dice. Bring another. No, that means there's.
How tall? How tall is
a Skechers landing pad? What?
No.
I mean, that's about the size of a tray you need.
yeah.
But you need one that's like 6 inches tall, so they don't bounce out.
Yeah.
Might just get a box. It's like, hey, where's the? I need a Leviathan box top. And then you can roll on that.
Put some green felt inside.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! Just take the Necromunda.
The topper.
No, piece. Do you still have the Dark Imperium set or the?
Not the Dark Imperium.
Ash Waste.
Yeah.
Box.
Yeah.
Bam, that's your dice box.
That's a huge dice box.
They won't come out.
They won't come out. No. So.
Solutions. Bam.
What's the? The Las Vegas where they're chucking the dice. What game is that?
Craps. Is that Craps?
Is it Craps? I can't.
Yeah, because really that's the spinning one. I said
really
earlier. I think it's Craps. Yeah, Craps. Yeah. Blow on. Yeah, Craps.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking like I need a dice tray, like Craps.
That's super long, like a 3 foot.
Well,
3 foot
like long, tall, and then no corners. How it rounds mm-hmm. on the edges. So I was like,
how big of a pain in the butt is that going to be to transport?
Oh, it'd be absolutely aggravating.
Yeah. Okay, so the one I have, I forget the name of the company, but mine's magnetic, and so it folds down, folds out, and it's just barely bigger than the rule book. So I can just slide them between my rule books and go.
Nothing about it, yeah.
Yeah. I don't got to worry about snaps messing with my books or anything. I mean, it is small.
Yeah.
But I got it that way for the reason, so we just basically fit between the books.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to use one of those. We'll empty one of these boxes out after the show and see how loud it is.
Okay. Throwing dice in it can be loud. So, but.
Throw a t-shirt in there. The official Necromunda t-shirt. Okay, back to the campaign.
Lessons learned.
Yeah, lessons learned. So, in our gaming group, it's hard to schedule games with each other. We just have, hey, come up, we're going to be up here this day, usually on Sundays for us, and alternate days Wednesday, but whenever you can make a game, schedule one. But challenging people isn't like something we do, really. It's like, hey, are you free to play a game? Yes, okay. They're not.
Yes, yeah.
Now, we were playing the Outcast campaign, which the consensus is nobody liked that campaign because it's super hard to build buildings.
Yeah. And the mission selection, not always like the mission, like of the three that we had that week, like one of them might contribute to the supplies that you're needing.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, cool. Well, we're playing this game for credits. And it's like, I don't really need credits. I need more power so I can spend that to
my medical
facility.
Let's see. I think it was, I can't remember how many games played, but my gang rating was over 3,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy.
I was at like 21, 22.
Yeah.
So.
And I didn't even spend all my credits.
Yeah.
I had stuff in the bank.
In the bank, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not spending anymore. It's dumb.
Yeah.
So I need to have a wider selection of missions to play, people wider and just that are applicable to what you're fighting over. So you needed your scrap or whatever power, you know, make sure it has those in it. But like I said earlier in this episode, the new Dominion campaign has three scenarios for the whole thing.
Yeah,
for whichever playing outside or inside. Yeah, no, that's not gonna fly.
No.
I mean, at least six, If you can have more than that, it's awesome, but at least six, so there you get some spread. Preferably, if you're an arbitrator, you know, you can change it up every week.
Yeah.
Because what I do is I'll post on our Discord, like, hey, here's the missions for this week. Mm-hmm. You know, and any other relevant thing. Some gaming groups, like, they meet, like, every Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And they got time to play maybe one or two games. And that's all they, like, so I know some groups, they only play one game a week.
Yeah.
If they can. And sometimes it's only like one game a month and they spread it throughout the year.
Yeesh.
But their campaigns are actually pretty short.
Yeah.
So they may even play four games and that's it. You know, six games. But everybody's there. Everybody can play the same mission. Arbitrator's there to arbitrate.
Yeah.
You know, control any NPCs that are running around, any critters or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
That really doesn't work for us, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we do the Dominion campaign,
we're going to be having to sprinkle in additional missions.
Well, the missions and just how people challenge, because you're supposed to be the person with lowest rating can challenge first.
Yeah. How does that work? How would we?
Yeah, if everybody's there together, that's super easy. Because they'd be like, right there, okay, hey, John, you have the lowest rating. Who do you want to challenge? Okay, y'all go play a game.
Yeah.
You know, that's easy. That's not working for us, for our group. For this Ash Waste campaign coming up, like, we're not going to play the one that's in the book. It won't work.
Okay.
Because you got to challenge specific people to specific things, and that's not going to fly for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's just between everybody's work schedules, any home life things going on. It's just too much to coordinate.
Yeah, too much to coordinate. So coordination, communication. So as an arbitrator for us, I need to communicate more to keep interest. Because people are just like, okay, whatever. If I'm you engaging.
You have to be more of a cheerleader.
Yeah, I have to engage everybody more.
Yeah.
Because people want to play Necromunda, but they're not like
as jazzed about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more of a, oh, sure. Okay. It's a thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's not just, they're chomping at the bit.
Yeah. And also, since like the new edition of 40K came out, like, there's three other guys that have gangs, but they're not playing because all they're doing is playing 10th, learning that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just getting reps in with that. Okay.
Yep. So that was a detriment.
Mm-hmm.
And then another detriment is the store couldn't get in the models.
Yes. That has been a issue that has been plaguing us since COVID.
Yeah.
Because like Trevor, he ordered his House of Iron for the Warlock book. He ordered it like 8-10 months ago.
Yeah, I ordered the...
And it just came in maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Did it come in or he bought it off eBay?
He bought it off eBay because it was taking so long.
Oh, and then it came in.
Then it came in.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't fault him by any stretch. I mean, he let it sit for quite some time.
But
it was just like, he literally can't play his gang because the back orders are just...
Yeah, like I ordered the Book Apparel.
Yeah.
Over a year ago. It's still on back order.
Still?
Yeah.
Yeesh.
I don't know if they make it anymore. I haven't checked.
That one, yeah, they still make it.
I mean, what everything is in.
Almost, but it's not.
A lot of the stuff's in the new book. Not everything.
Yeah.
A lot of it is. Yeah. I mean, we all have, an electronic copy, but of course I want the hard copy.
Yeah.
Communication.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out what your players want. You know, it may take a campaign or two for you to figure that out, that hey, we're just going to run these short little campaigns,
see what people like dislike about them,
keep people interested.
Like,
okay, we're just running this 4 weeks, and then okay, people aren't, they didn't get burnt out, they want more. You know, instead of doing two big campaigns in the year, I can do maybe three or four.
And that's what I was gonna say, is like, you could do something that's easily okay, 4 weeks on, 2 or 4 weeks off, and then just keep going in that order.
Yeah.
And get through more, have more people playing, changes it up. You're able to, hey, we're doing Ash Waste campaign, and somebody comes in and it's like, oh, well, I wanted to do Ash Waste, but now you guys are doing an Underhive mission or a Zomertalis campaign. Okay, no problem. Ash Waste is going to be coming around the corner. not too far from now.
Yeah. Like my expectations or my wants did not equal out to the players' wants. So I wanted to do the link campaigns. Yeah. Well, people want to play Ash Waste.
Yeah.
Well, I got to give them what they want so we can still play.
Yeah, yeah.
So my link campaign is going to be spread out apparently for a couple of years now.
Well, I mean, you just link it in a different way.
Well, no, I'm saying like I'm going to have to skip. Like, I'm not going to do this campaign, this campaign, this campaign. I'm going to do this is one that's in the universe, and then this one's not.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say
the continuity of it. Like, we're playing the Ash Waste.
Yeah.
That's not going to be continuity of this campaign progression.
Okay. But I would say for that, you're able to, just like with DMing D&D session, like, you might have this whole thing constructed and planned out, and your players want to go and try and talk to a fish. That's all that they want to do that night.
Yes.
So sometimes you just gotta, okay, all right, well, they're going to talk to the fish. Well, how's the fish now? Now it's an NPC. Now how do I have the fish be part of the campaign?
Yes.
Just a matter of stringing it all together.
Yes. The Always Sunny in Philadelphia red string map.
Yeah.
Conspiracy
yeah.
theory going on.
Pepe Celia. Yeah.
Yes. So I haven't got everybody's input back from the campaign, but for the tactics cards, how we did them. Mm-hmm. So how we did them is you had a deck of at least 20 cards.
Yep.
And then if you use them, you just take them out.
They're burned.
They're burned. If you didn't use them, you put it back in the deck.
Yep.
And then if you go through your whole deck, which nobody did.
Yeah.
I was the closest one and I saw them.
Yeah.
Because I would never use all of them. If you go through them all, you just start again.
Yeah. Reshuffle them up.
So GW, you know, they came out with this new gang tactics selection in the new core rule book. And I think ours is just basically combining both of these because they had where you could just take the gang tactics out of your book and just roll from that.
Yeah.
For each time you play. Then they had the custom method. But you take 18 for a campaign, take 18 tactics cards and you use those. They give you a little roster in here. You can print out and write them all down. And it's that you're using your selection.
Oh, okay.
That's your selection.
Yeah.
Or you do it where you take 30 gang tactics cards for a campaign. And once you use it, it's gone. You don't restart. It's gone.
Oh, okay.
You don't. Yeah. It's just
a one off. Yeah.
It's gone.
You only have one click and that's it.
Yeah. One click, that's it. You know, okay. You're never going to, even if it's a professional game, you're screwed.
Yeah.
But going through 30 tactics cards, that's, you're playing a lot of freaking games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of games.
Because you're burning at most two, typically, for a game.
Yeah.
So 15 games, that's a lot of games.
Yeah, well, I played over 16 for our campaign, and I didn't use 20 tactics cards.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Because, yeah, for whatever reason, like, there wasn't a good time. Maybe I forgot. It happens all the damn time. I always forget. I'm like, I had this card. I could have used it.
Yeah, yeah.
So GW is trying some new things with their gang tactics. I've seen people, like, if you listen to Gilders Ford Radio, if y'all haven't listened to them, go take a listen. I'll link those in the show notes as well. They have their campaign, which is based out of Gilders Ford, and that's their settlement. And theirs is the arbitrator will let you pick. I think he lets you pick, or you get to pick like two cards, and those two cards are your cards like every game.
Oh,
but that can be brutal though, because you need to get you can get crappy cards, or you can get some real good ones. Like for like my Eschers, where I can get my character's already activated. I can activate them again.
Yeah.
And they're pinned at the end of the activation. Well, okay, my Death Maiden.
She has a spring up.
So yeah, yeah. What do I care? She already charged to kill somebody. Oh, now I'm going to play her again. She's gonna charge and kill somebody again. Oh, she's pinned. I don't care if she has spring up.
Yeah.
For whenever
and
it comes around.
Oh, look at that. She's behind some cover.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. So with that, you know, everybody knows, you know what you're going to do. You know, there's no question like, well, I got this cool thing I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I know how I'm going to use it. You always have a plan on basically, you know, like how you're going to use that thing instead of like, oh, I got this grenade bouquet. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can use that. Okay. I wasn't expecting that. Oh crap. Do I have any guys with grenades in this list?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crap.
Now it's null and void for that game.
So I think the players like that, that mix, you know, mm-hmm. you could get them later, but it's not the same old power combos.
Yeah. You're not getting the same God hand every game.
I can't do the thing where I can make the Death Maiden run 96 inches in one go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darn.
I mean, no, because I pulled those tactics cards on you where she got three activations in one turn.
Yeah.
On you. And that was ridiculous. Just brutal. That was brutal. It was, so we had a house rule like you couldn't have more than, you couldn't combo two tactics cards to give them more than one activation to stop that from him, because that just is no fun for the other person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun for you when you're just slaughtering people.
Especially where it's like you literally have no interaction
with
stopping or countering that mechanic. Yeah.
That's why we didn't play anything with the sentry rules in the campaign, because the sentry rules suck, because you have no control over what your gang's doing. You're just sitting there while the other person's playing.
Yeah.
I will never use the sentry rules as they are. We'll never play play anything, because that's just not fun.
Yeah.
Usually, when I have played that, even the other person did not have fun because they were just playing by themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I learned from that campaign. I'm going to go off on a tangent now, just because I can.
Okay.
I mean, another painting. And we're not talking about the campaign anymore. We're just going to skip that. I should have talked about this earlier in the podcast on what's new, what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at painting styles, and watching some YouTube videos, seeing what's going on, watching Vince EV, his hobby cheating stuff. And I'm looking at, you know, Blanche Sitchu, you know, what's going on there? You know, how's that look? Everybody paints Blanche Sitchu different. Everybody paints it different.
Yeah.
I heard that like John Blanche will, like he won't take more than an hour per model. That's what I've heard. I'm not found anywhere. That's what somebody has said that he has said. I'm like, well, I mean, that's a good goal. You're like, I'm going to paint this thing an hour and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, that's a good.
Yeah.
A good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Helps
you get through each model.
Yeah. And then I heard somebody said that trying to paint Blanche Sitchu is the hipster way of painting. I'm like, how are you going to say that's the hipster way of painting?
Yeah.
I've never even would have thought that.
How is that hipster?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess he's going for grimdark. That's the hipster thing to do is grimdark. I mean, I don't even get that either.
I don't see it. I mean, that's kind of what I do paint is grimdark stuff. Like, it's just, I find it more visually appealing.
Yeah.
And it feels like it fits the theme.
For going into technical stuff, so you're modeling your paint. You're giving visual interest on the model via the paint.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not a solid blue slab of armor. There's other colors in there.
Yeah.
There's chips and stuff that, you know, that
might do a gradient or something.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Whatever, you know, just how the dirt's on there, how the grime's on there. You know, that your mind likes that.
Mm.
You know, we want something that's not plain. We don't like plain stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how is it hipster to try to emulate the guy, one of the most influential artists? Now, I'm not going to say he's the most influential, but he is one of the most influential artists. He was their art director for I don't know how many years.
I could see making an argument that, like, there's some stuff that I've seen that it's just bad Blanche Sitchu. And people, I can see the, oh, well, you just grime it up, you dirty it up. It's the, you may be a technically bad painter, but because of all the grime and rust and shit you throw on it, that masks what your bad paint job. So I can see an argument there for that, because you're not sitting there, you're not taking your model and you're not edge highlighting every single piece of like armor, weapon, whatever it may be. But there's ways of doing it successfully, just like with everything.
Well, no, it's like I was saying earlier, GW has the funnel, or the trump, they call it the trumpet.
Yeah.
They want to draw you in. Hey, this is how we paint it. And you should paint it that way. And so people are like, that's the way you paint GW stuff. Well, no, that's just the way GW paints it.
Yeah.
It's a hobby. I can do whatever I want with it.
Mm-hmm.
And just because my stuff looks dirty doesn't mean I didn't put effort into it, or I didn't.
There's still not a technique behind it, but there is.
Just because it took me less time to paint my model shouldn't take away from how much you put into your model.
No.
You know, a poorly painted finished model is better than a half finished perfect model.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's painted. It's on the board. You can play with it.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
You know, and who cares that it's poorly painted? It's painted. You put whatever effort you put into it, as long as you put the effort into it, or you had somebody else put that effort into it, you know, it's done. It's there. Who cares? So I was doing some research on John Blanche, you know, trying to find videos of interviews and stuff with him, because I wanted to see how he painted stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can't find anything on that. I see how I found GW's Voxcast. They had him where he drew some pictures, drew some models. And apparently, like, most all of his drawings, like, go into the GW vault. Like, they have an archive.
Mm.
And that, not the artist, like, the artist leads, like, the, I guess, like, the assistant managers and up, can go in the vault and look through his, all of his drawings for inspiration.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, to see. And then they'll go back and talk to the team about that.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy that they would keep that under lock and key. Like, to gain inspiration, why not just have this just be accessible by everybody in the company?
Because they don't want people that are just hired and make, I'm just saying, that are just hired and may quit soon, you know, that aren't investing in the company and take his ideas and use them elsewhere.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. I'm just thinking that to be so cagey about it.
Well, GW likes they put Easter eggs in a lot of things and a lot of references to other things. If you don't know what to look for, you're not going to see it. But they do it in like almost all their works.
Mm.
And I was noticing, so John Blanche has a, like, one of those famous pieces is Amazonia. I'm trying to pronounce this right. Goliathki. I can't pronounce this. It's a chaos fantasy female warrior.
Okay.
And like, they did models off of it. It's one of his, like, when you see it, it's all a super old white dwarf. It's a white dwarf. I don't even know. It's like one of the, like, in the single or double digits white dwarf. If you see it, I'll post a link to the picture. The Belladonna model.
Belladonna. Yeah.
That's Belladonna. Yeah, they modeled Belladonna off of this.
Yeah.
Because Belladonna's got big hair. She's got,
The armor. Yeah.
One leg. She got the bow. They have the bows in her hair, but this is on the leg.
Yeah.
She got an axe. She's got a power axe. It's Belladonna.
Yeah.
I like that. How they, like, the artist, like, oh, I remember he did this thing and based a model off of that.
That's
pretty cool.
Deriving the inspiration from it. Yeah.
I don't know. I just want to go on a tangent talking about John Blanche.
Okay.
On my rant last episode, talking about GW needs to make some juves.
Yes.
Yes, I know GW is not going to make any juves. It's not fiscally responsible for them to try to make a box of juves.
Sure.
Forgeworld can, though.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
You know, if Forgeworld makes three juves for most of the gangs, I'm not going to buy some Orlok juves, but some Escher juves or some Carter juves, Delac juves, I'll buy those.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty easy. I mean, they made three champions for Escher. And for Orlocks.
Orlocks, yeah.
I mean, they can make juves. I think the juves would sell more than the champions would.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to fill out your ranks more.
Yeah.
So.
I'd buy those. So, yes, I know GW's not going to make them. Everybody who said something. But Forgeworld can.
Yeah.
That's their wheelhouse, is making niche models like that. That wraps it up for this section and for the show. We were supposed to review Survival Instinct after the close of this show, But unfortunately, life got in the way and that's not going to happen. So what we're going to do is we're going to release a separate short episode just on that book. That'll be coming shortly. Sorry, I lied to everybody. It's my bad. Once again, we thank everybody for listening. Thank you for your reviews.
Yeah.
Please like, subscribe, do all that jazz. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Listen. Check out these other podcasts and mm-hmm. YouTube channels that I'm going to link in the show notes. Yeah. You may like them. You may not. You may dig the format. You may hate the format, but at least give them a try.
Yeah.
Do you have any parting words for us, Richard?
No. Just make sure to follow us on Instagram. I'm at Les Gray Minis, and you are at
Necro Macho Entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate everybody listening, and y'all have a great day.
You've been listening to the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. Ooh, yeah. Where the high scum rise through the top.